Today's Sunday Conversation will be a special edition. We have segments from the Civic Engagement Summit that took place October 21st. This was hosted by Wayne Hales and Janice Granville, featuring special guests Dominic Perkins, Nancy Boren, Susan Cooper, Tracy Mosley, Kendall Williams, and DeAsia.
Dominic, I've known Dominic for some years, and I call him the numbers guy. He's a political strategist. This is his job. This is what he does for a living. He's also with the Democratic Party, nationally or statewide? Statewide. He doesn't brag on himself, but that's sort of a big deal. We asked him to come to just talk about, we are not telling people that you cannot run, that you should not run. We just want to throw out the information. So for those who want to run, tell us the best scenario for someone who is interested in running in Muskogee County at this time.
In terms of best scenario, what do you mean by best scenario?
Okay.
I would say for someone who's looking to run for office, probably one of the most important things when you're running for office is you want it to, the conversation to be, you know, like, we need you to run. You know, where the community is pushing you to do it, and it's not a matter of, I just want to run for office, so I'm just going to pick something and run for it. I always tell people the most important thing when you're looking at running for office is it's got to be the right race at the right time. So not just saying, I want to get elected, I'm going to run for school board, city council, you know, mayor, whatever, and not caring what it is. So the focus has to be on the service and on the job and wanting to do a specific job. So if you want to help children, you should be running for school board. School board and city council are two very different things. You deal with a lot of very different issues. And I would say the third thing is look at your qualifications and then, you know, give it some serious thought about what makes sense. If you're a retired teacher and, you know, you've got a school board seat available, probably makes, you know, that's a good fit. And so often I get people, folks have this tendency to want to do the opposite of what they're really good at, and that's confusing to me, but it happens a lot. So if you've got a strong background in education, you know, school board's a great one. If you spend a lot of time serving on boards, serving on committees, commissions, nonprofits, those types of things, then, you know, city council is an option, and I can go on and on and on. But I would say making sure you're running the right race at the right time. And there's so many factors that come into play when you're looking at that. You've got to look at your family. What's your family situation? Are things good there? Far too often people focus on the, I just want to run now, but they don't think about whether it's a good thing for you. I have seen people go bankrupt running for local office. Not necessarily in Columbus, but I have seen it happen all over the place.
So how much does it cost for someone to run for, let's say, for a district position as opposed to a citywide?
Yeah, district, I would say district and citywide are different. There's a big difference there. I would say citywide, if you want to run a good race, in an ideal scenario, 100,000 plus is what you would want to raise. District is much smaller. You can get away with, you know, 10 or 15,000. So it doesn't require a lot of money, but there are things that slightly offset. So for anybody who's thinking about running for office, I'm not saying that you can get away with not raising money. You have to raise money. That's just a part of the game. But sweat equity matters a lot. Volunteers matter a lot. So if you're someone who has a large following of people who are with you and who are going to stick with you from start to finish, then that can help you kind of offset those numbers that I've mentioned. But for the most part, I'd say that's about where you need to be at financially.
Does name recognition help? Are there certain things that will really help if you decide to?
Certainly. I think name recognition, a minimum level of name recognition is frankly a requirement. Your introduction to the community should not be announcing that you're running for office. So people, generally speaking, leaders in the community, and not just leaders in the community, but just regular everyday people should generally know who you are already and what you do. Far too often, you know, folks announce for office and I start getting phone calls from people saying, who is this? And if you're one of those people, you're already behind. To me, that's a signal of, and I don't imply that I know everybody or that, you know, everybody's going to be known to everyone all the time, but generally speaking, folks will assume that you haven't been doing an adequate amount of work if there are people out here who are doing the work who don't know who you are.
Let's give a round of applause again for De'Asia. De'Asia Duma, she's 25, and Kendall Williams, who's 23. There's a lot more to them than their age, but I'm going to give them a chance to tell you a little bit more about them by starting off. So, quick introductions.
Yes, good morning. My name is De'Asia. I am 25. I am mother to a 9-month-old baby girl and a graduate from Auburn University, industrial engineer.
Where you go?
Where you go? Today I said yes because I am very eager to get involved in local politics and also to encourage my peers to do so.
De'Asia, where are you from?
I'm originally from Dublin, Georgia, little town.
But I moved to Columbus when I was about 13.
Okay, great. So, let me ask you a question. Have you all voted?
Yes.
Not in Columbus.
Okay. Have you voted before, period?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Good. Do you think that you will vote again next year?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So the first question I want to know from each of you is why you're going to vote next year.
I think someone stated it before. We're fighting for our democracy, and there's a couple of issues that hit home for me. Absolutely. So, for me, it's all about education and the future of our nation. It's in Columbus as well.
Excellent. And you have a young child, so I'm sure you're thinking education for them. Wonderful.
Good morning.
Good morning, Nancy. How are you?
I'm good.
Great, great. First of all, thank you so much for coming to give us this needed information for a very important election year that's coming up. So, Nancy, let's start off. All right, Ms. Warren, can you tell us, are there any districts being redrawn in the Muskogee County area this year?
So the districts were redrawn in 2022 after reapportionment and the census. No new lines for 2024. However, we will have new precinct locations. One of those, Holsey Church, will be moving to Gateway Church. As you know, Mount Pilgrim is no longer on Cedar Road, it's now on Ford Drive. They have graciously allowed us to continue using their new facility. And then the third location is the Elizabeth Bradley Turner Center. We'll move to the Cunningham Center at TSU. But no district changes, only precinct changes.
Okay, very good. Did everyone get those? For those that are listening, we have people listening in our radio listening audience on WOKS 1340 94.1 FM. We also have this live streamed on the Courier Eco Latino site. Is that right? Okay. So we're hoping that if there are any questions that you all see or that you all see on these sites, if you let us know, we can ask those as well. Okay, very good. So three precincts are changing.
Yes.
Okay, very good. Election dates for 2024.
So 2024 is presidential election year. So we have the presidential preference primary March the 12th. And that's different and sometimes confusing for voters. PPP is what we call it, March 12th. And then we have the general primary and the nonpartisan election A. The voters have to remember they vote in March and they vote and come back again in May for the general primary. We have a runoff and then the November 5th general election.
Okay.
So don't forget that distinction between the presidential preference primary and the general primary.
Before we get into the numbers of Muskogee County, can you tell us about voter registration? When those time periods are, if you know them, and could you tell us a little bit about what some people call the purging of the voters? Mm-hmm. Okay.
So registration is open until 30 days before an election. So it's open now. You also can register to vote when you go get your driver's license. And that's how most Georgians actually register now. About 98% of Georgia voters register at the Department of Driver Services when they get their driver's license. Of course, we still have the elderly, but they can use that expired Georgia driver's license to vote if they no longer have a valid Georgia driver's license. That's usually how most people register to vote. We still do deputy registrar training for voter registrars who would like to go out into the community and register people to vote. But yeah,
excellent. All right, Ms. Cooper. I don't think that you are unknown to anybody in this room. I think you have been serving in Columbus, Georgia, especially when it comes to these elections, for a very long time. So we are excited to have you on this couch today to give us some needed information of what you saw from a ground level over the last couple of elections that we've had. So can you tell us about the Get Out the Vote efforts that you did in the last two elections, 2022 and 2020.
Okay. First of all, I'd like to say that I did have notes, but they disappeared. God always does this to me, even when I'm getting ready to speak at
you
church.
You have all of here.
Yeah, and that's why it happens, so that I can just speak from what I know and just speak from my heart. It happens every time. But as far as the get out to vote effort, and I would also like to start with, I first of all do this work from my heart as a servant, a community volunteer, and an advocate for the people. And I've been advocating for a long time, even in my career and even as a child and at home. So for me, it truly started, charity started for me at home. But the Get Out the Vote work, what we did was we partnered with other organizations in the community. It is so important that we come together as a community, not just as a people, because as you heard Dominique say, we have to come together collectively as an overall community with one goal, one purpose, and that is getting the information to the people and getting people out to the polls to vote. We partnered with organizations such as A Call to Talk, A Community Call to Action, which had the vision of bringing us together. I also had the same vision, so we all came together and we partnered with all of the other organizations and other names that you've heard here, like the NAACP, the Urban League, the IMA, the Divine Nine. We just partnered with the entire community and even representatives that were in office, because there was information that we needed. The elections office, the Secretary of State, that was one of the things that I specifically did in leading the community, to mobilize the community to the polls to vote, was to gather the information and the facts. That's why I have notes, so that we can share facts with the community and getting the information and drilling it down to the community and things that they don't know and things that we don't talk about enough, like online voting. There's no excuse. And we thank God for, online voter registration. Maybe one day we'll have online voting. Maybe that is to come. But there's really no excuse for registering to vote. It only takes 3 minutes or so. So we're getting the information out to the community so that we can get them out to the polls.
Absolutely. And you all took it a step further, because we know that voter registration is important, but in Columbus, Georgia, the most important thing is to get people to actually vote. Mm-hmm. So could you identify, you named one, which is collaboration with many of the organizations that sit in this room. What are some of the other key factors that you found were imperative in getting people to move from registration and information to actually activation and voting? What are some of those key things you found that we can all use during these next elections?
That was the grassroots movement, and actually getting on the ground, reaching people, knocking on doors, making phone calls. We were actually making phone calls. We were actually calling on the inactive voter list and making sure that people knew that they were inactive, and calling them and making sure that they updated their voter registration. So we were actually doing the work, contacting people, contacting seniors, going to their doors, making sure that they had their ballots, their absentee ballots. So there were things that we were actually taking people to the polls, taking them to the polls, spreading the word. So we were just so very active in doing the grassroots work. We were on the ground in the housing communities, every community, and getting people out and taking them to the polls to vote. But the information piece and making sure that people know the deadlines, they know who's on the ballot, what's on the ballot, do your research, know your precinct, know your district, because sometimes people were talking about voting for certain people in different districts and they weren't even in their districts. So we've got to get the information down to the people so that they know what they're doing, because for lack of knowledge,
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So first of all is knowing what's happening, and it is our responsibility as a community to serve as liaisons between elections, Secretary of State, the information, and drilling that information down to the community. Because I hear so many elected officials and people saying, well, it's on the website, it's on Facebook. Y'all, that's not enough. Not everybody go to the websites and the Facebooks, the newspaper, it's our responsibility to drill it down and to get them out.
So what you said was really powerful. I have a question, Kendall, for you. First for you, now I'm going to for you, because I think they'll be very similar. So Kendall, you kind of grew up in Columbus. You were active in Columbus before you left to go to college, because I remember you. And you left and went to college, and now you've taken a job. And where did you say you're going? Houston?
Houston, Texas.
Excellent. So excellent for Houston. We got to work harder in Columbus, right? So, but let me ask you, Kendall, if you were to say one thing, too, if you could think of it. You said, one thing I would love for Columbus, what I'd love to see in Columbus, if I reimagined what the best version of Columbus would look like for me, what would that be?
Honestly, the first thing that came to my mind is, you mentioned it in your earlier statement, like I am going to Texas, but since being back home, like I was in Maine, y'all, to give clarity. For those of you who've never been to Maine, Maine's about 20 something hours drive from here. And I went to Bates. I loved my school, but I was definitely far away from home. I didn't always come back home. But since I've been back home, that feeling, that spirit of just seeing people in your community doing things, seeing like people who I graduated with, like they're working at this job, that job, but they're here. You know, that's a powerful thing to see. And it's one of the reasons for me, you know, you mentioned Janice, what is that thing? For me, it's definitely we need more reasons to keep people here. And especially the young people, because I have a lot of like friends who they're moving too, or they've moved and come back and they're trying to find a reason to stay. And so I feel like that's the main component that we need to hit, especially not only for young people, but just for the seasoned generation as well, because Columbus is a great city. I think sometimes it's easy to forget that with life.
Absolutely. So what I heard you say, Kendall, in a very kind way, was that people are leaving and they need reasons to stay. So the reasons that they're leaving, so you're leaving to take another job, right? So job opportunities would be one. I heard you say you enjoy coming back and seeing people, like literally laying your eyes on them, seeing what they're doing. So I'm thinking community and camaraderie and environments where you get a chance to interact with other people your age would be also another one. Is that fair?
Those organizations, you know, like I work a lot with My Black Has a Purpose. Mm-hmm. And every time I came back home, my mom was always one to throw me in to help out with the organization. And at first, you know, when I was a freshman, I didn't see any value in it. But definitely, you know, knocking on doors, canvassing, working with the different organizations here, like the Urban League, you see the impact, and we definitely need more of that.
That's good. I hope our organizations are listening.
Brother Mosley, how you doing?
Yes, fantastic.
All right,
fantastic.
Urban League of River Valley Incorporated.
Of the River Valley. Right.
So we wanted you on because you all have been really good over the years about getting people out to Is that something that you plan on doing for 2024 as well?
Absolutely. You know, I just appreciate all the discussion that all the previous panelists have said, because it really culminates with everything. It culminates with everyone. As Ms. Cooper said, it doesn't take one person, it doesn't take one organization, it takes everyone. And so applause to everybody that has come before me. I want to talk about, you know, when it comes to the get out the vote effort, yeah, it's going to be we have already, as Mr. Perkins has mentioned, we've already began raising dollars. We cannot wait till next year. You know, we've already began raising money and putting plans together, strategic plans together for implementing this process. And we're kicking off this campaign in January. So even though there's things happening in the early part of the year, and of course the big elections in November, we've got to start now.
How did you do the last election? How did it go? And Dominique has talked about resources. So what type of resources will you need this year or next year?
Lots. And I'll tell you why. Our national office put out a report called The State of Black America. And the title of it, I just want, and anybody who wants it, I've got a QR code you can scan and get the whole full report. But it talks about confronting the threat within. Confronting the threat within. Democracy in peril. Now, that kind of spells it all as far as going into next year, because we witnessed things in this past couple of elections that we've never witnessed before. And I want to, you know, give respect to Nancy and her office, because we have an elections office of integrity, an election office that will answer the call, will answer your questions, but not all offices are like that.
Say it again.
You know, we have people in Nancy's position that are being indicted as we speak for false claims on elections. We've got a court session going on, indictments going on in Fulton County, as close as Fulton County, right down the road, as well as in other parts of the country. We are a democracy that is at a turning point right now. Because we have that democracy and people want to false claims on elections, election lies, those kinds of things, this is something that we got to pay attention to. We got to pay more attention to. So the issues are more important, are becoming more important right now. Got to get folks out to vote. That's primary. We got to get them to the polls. We got to get them registered. But we also have to communicate the issues. And so the issues is something that we're going to be putting a lot of attention to, a lot of focus to, as far as what issue that affects folks' everyday lives. I think that's going to increase voter participation more than anything else. Is how can we attach somebody who's living right down the street, and how can we've got to match up what's going on in Muskogee County, what's going on at the State House in Atlanta, what's going on in Washington, to their everyday lives.
Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and this radio program are not to be considered necessarily the belief of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns, or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversations? Send us an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.